Parshas Toldos starts off and tells us that Yitzchok, Pasuk Chof, was 40 years old when he married Rivka, the sister of Lavan Arami, Pasuk Chof Aleph, that Yeta Yitzchok Hashem, Yitzchok Davins to Hashem, Unoichach Ishtoi, opposite his wife, Ki Akorahi, she was an Akorah, she couldn't have any children. By Yosuloi Hashem, Hashem listens to him, Vataha Rivka Ishtoi, Rivka becomes wheelbarrows. It's a very powerful Rabbeinu B'chai in this Pasuk. I'd like to read it inside. Rabbeinu B'chai says, if you look at the Pasuk closely, it seems to be out of order. What does the Pasuk say? That Yata Yitzchak Davin Hashem, opposite his wife, because she was an Akara. Which came first? Yitzchak's Tefillah or Rivka being an Akara? The Pasuk should have said that he Rivka Akara, Rivka was an Akara, and that Yata Yitzchak Hashem, Yitzchak Davin. Seems to be out of order. Yitzchak Davin Hashem, because she was an Akara. So say it in proper order. She was an Akara, and then Yitzchak David. Says Rabbeinu B'chai. Hakos of Hoyroi lahaktim v'loima. The Pasuk should have said first, Vatahi Rivka Akara. She was an Akara. And afterwards, Vayata Yitzchak Hashem, ki Akari, Yitzchak David. Oma shehiktim atfilo. The reason why the Torah writes Yitzchak's tfilo first is to tell us shehiktim ho'ikr. The ikr was the tefillah. The ramadu. She'ein ha'kavono she'ti ha'kara sibas ha'tefillah. Poshe pshat. If somebody would ask us, why did Yitzchak daven? We would answer, yes, because she was an akara. So what was the cause? Her being an akara. What was the result? Yitzchak's tefillah. Says Rabbeinu B'chai, wrong. Just the opposite. The Pasuk is telling to teach us, no. The kavanah of the pasuk is ki atfilah sibas ha'akaros. Hashem wanted to hear the tefillos of Yitzchak. Hashem wanted to hear the tefillos of Rivka. In order to hear their tefillos, Hashem put them in a situation where they would have to daven. They would have a sorrow. They would have a trouble. They would have a situation that required tefillah. So because Hashem desired the tefillah of tzaddikim, and Hashem wanted to hear their tefillah, therefore Hashem made Rivka an Akara. So now the order is very good. Yitzchak davened Hashem, ki Akarahi. Yitzchak's davening was the ikar, was the main factor. Says the Pasuk, and why did Yitzchak daven? What brought about ki Akarahi, she was an Akara? How did Hashem arrange that Yitzchak davened? By having Rivka be an Akara. Not that she was an Akara, Memele Yitzchak davened. Because Hashem wanted to hear their tefillos, Hashem arranged it by making Rivka into an Akara. And he says, the Gemara Bema says it, the Gemara tells us, really Medrash tells us, while Sarah was an Akara, Rivka was an Akara, and Rachel, strange, three of the four Yimois didn't have children right away. Sarah waited till she was 90 years old, Rivka had to wait, and Rachel had to wait. Why? Because Hashem desires the tefillah of tzaddikim. Hashem wants to hear that tefillah. So Hashem arranged that they would be in a situation that would require tefillah. But the ikar was not the akara, the ikar was the tefillah. Hashem wants the tefillah, the melee put them in that situation. Umikan, yeshulomoid, oid koyachat tefillah, shigdoilomoid. From here we call out the power of tefillah. Tefillah is so great, tefillah has the ability to change nature. Even though api derech hateva, the way the world runs, things should happen one way, or something can't happen, tefillah has the ability to change teva. And that's how great tefillah is. And sometimes Hashem puts a person in a situation because Hashem wants the person to daven. And if everything is going smoothly, everything is running properly, a person doesn't daven as well. So Hashem puts a person in an eis tzara, and this way, a person has to daven. So the tefillah is the ikar, not the fact that she was an akara. So the pasuk is in a proper order. Yitzchak davened, ki akarahi. The fact she was an akara was a sibah, was a reason for the ikar, brought about the tefillah of Yitzchak. So powerful is the kayach of davening. Tefillah is a tremendous kayach. And we see it as we go through life. Everyone knows when they have a situation, they daven a little better. They daven a little more serious. It wakes us up. So tefillah faket. Every time people always ask, why did this happen to me? Why? It could be many different reasons why. But maybe one reason is because Hashem wants to hear our tefillos. Isn't it a tremendous chizuk? Hashem wants to hear my tefillos. Hashem wants to hear what I have to say. So therefore, Hashem sent this situation, so I should daven. I think it's a tremendous chizuk, how great is the kayach of the kayach tefillah. The Gemara in Erechin, the Aftez Zayin, tells us, call a person who goes 40 days without Yisurim. A person has 40 days without Yisurim, kibel olamoy. He received his olam haba, his schar in this world. 40 days without Yisurim. And the Gemara says, what's Yisurim? If he puts a hand in one pocket to take out his money, and the money's in the other pocket. He wants to take out 3 coins, and he takes out only 2 coins. That's called Yisurim. But a person who doesn't have any Yisurim at all, everything runs smooth, beautifully, watch that. It's a simin, kibul alami. The pshat is poshut. Because if everything runs smoothly, Hashem is basically telling the person, I don't want your tefillos. I don't want to hear. I'll give you everything on a silver platter. Mm-hmm. Everything is fine. I don't want to hear tefillos. I'm not giving you a reason to daven. I'm not giving you an incentive to do tshuva. Forget. The fact that we do go through life, especially the way society is today, things happen so fast, things change very fast, and we're all very busy, very tired, with a lot of worries on our head. You know why? To daven. Hashem wants to hear tefillos. So Hashem arranges these things to happen in order to be able to hear our tefillos. Pasuk says later on, really the next pasuk, Chof Beis, by Yisraelitzu Abonim Bekirba, Rivka's Mubaris, and she doesn't know at this point she has twins. And the two babies are fighting in her. Rashi learns by Yisraelitzu was a lotion of running. They ran. So Rashi tells us, what was the lotion of running? It says, Rashi, Rabbisayim Darashua, lotion mitzah, lotion of running. When she walked by the Pischei Tairish of Shem Ve'ever, she walked by the Yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever, what happened? Yaakov wanted to run out. Yaakov ran, tried to push his way out. When she passed by the Pischei Avodah Zarah, Esav tried to be Mefrakes Lotzeis, tried to push his way out. So Rivka couldn't understand. That time she said, "Imkein lomazel neichi. What do I need this for? Why was I mispalel to be muberes? What's happening? This child is a contradiction. Confused. He's trying to go out to the base of Avodah Zarah, to the base of Medrash. Like the Bali Musa say, the worst situation a person can find himself in is a matzav of contradiction of stira. A person doesn't know where he's holding. Here, there." He's ready to go serve Avodah Zarah, ready to go to the Beis Medrash. He doesn't know where he is, can't make up his mind. That's very dangerous. A person has to know where he's holding in life, what he's up to. Rivka said, I don't understand. What's with this child? He's trying to go out in both places. So she went to ask, and they answered, Hashem answered her. That means it's two babies. There's Esav and Yaakov, and then Rivka understood. One was Yaakov running to the Beis Medrash, and one was Esav running to the Beis Avodah Zarah. Everyone says the famous part, we'll say it over again anyway, and that is, why was Yaakov running to get out? Mishkama Esav wanted to go serve Avodah Zarah. But Yaakov, to learn, the Malach teaches him Kol HaTorah Kula. When the baby's inside his mother, the Malach teaches the baby Kol HaTorah Kula. So Yaakov had the Malach. Yaakov had the best Rebbe in the world. He had a Malach teaching him Torah. Why did he want to go out? It's a lev in the veltas over the Tarets because you can have the best Rebbe in the world. But if you have a chavrusa like Esav, you have to leave. You have to go out. If you have a Rebbe in the Malach. But if you have chavrusa, somebody like Esav, you can't stay. You have to leave. So Yaakov had to leave. The Sefer Charedim says though, a very fascinating pshat in this pasuk. He learns that Rivka knew she was having twins. But Rivka was worried, and the question was, Rivka tainted, why do I deserve to have an Esav as a son? Why do I deserve to have a Rasha like Esav? She said, Bishlam Avram had a Rasha Yishmael for a son, because Yishmael's mother was a Hagar. But she said, these children, the father's Yitzchak, the mother's Rivka, two tzaddikim, why do I deserve to have a Rasha Esav for a son? And she went to ask in Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever, why me? Why should I have a son like Esav? Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Hashem answers her, Shnei Goy Bevinich. There are two nations inside of you. And Rashi tells us, Shnei Goy. The word Goyim in the Sefer Torah is written Gimel Yud Yud Mem. We read it Goyim, but the Ksiv is Geyim. Gimel Yud Yud Mem. And Rashi tells us, it's written Geyim, refers to Antoninus and Rebbe. Antoninus, the Roman emperor and Rebbe. Shoy Poskul Miyal Shechon, they were very wealthy, and they always had on the table all kinds of delicacies, radishes and chazeres in the winter and the summertime. So the Sefer Charedin.
That was
the answer. Rivka asked, why me? Why do I deserve a rosh like Esav? Hashem told her back, you should know Shnego Bitnech. Right now he might be in Esav, but there are those Geirim, there are those Neshamas that are going to come out of Esav, who will be Megayer later on, and will become part of Klal Yisrael. So even though right now he might be in Esav, but Eilu Antoninus v'Rebbe, Antoninus was Megayer, he ran away and was Megayer, and he became a Yid. So Hashem answered her back, you're right. Correct. Right now he's an Esav, but don't think that that's the end of the world because he's an Esav. But from that guy, from that Esav, is going to come out those neshamos that will be Megayer, will be part of Klal Yisrael. Yeah. So really, Yaakov and Esav both will ultimately be part of Klal Yisrael through their descendants. It's well known in the times of the Gra, there was the Duke who was Megayer and became a Yid.
And they killed him.
And when he was Megayer and became a Yid,
Avram.
He is the Gra, Avram ben Avram. The Ger Tzedek, Avram ben Avram, the Ger Tzedek. When he was Megayer, he asked the Gra the following question. He said to the Gra, how is it possible that when Hashem went around before giving the Torah to Bnei Yisrael, and he asked every nation in the world to accept the Torah, they all refused. So this Ger asked the Gra, is it true that every Goy refused? Weren't there some Goyim that were ready to Mekabel the Torah? As a whole, the nation refused. The nation of Esav, the nation of Yishmael. Each nation refused. But weren't there those Goyim that wanted to accept the Torah? Why weren't they allowed to accept the Torah if they wanted to? And the Gra told him, those Goyim that wanted to accept the Torah are the ones that become Geirim in the later generations. Those Geirim, those Goyim that are Megayah throughout all the generations are those Neshamos of those Goyim who wanted to Mekabel the Torah at that time, but they were prevented because the nation as a whole did not accept the Torah. But those neshamos are the ones of the Geirim. They told this Ger Tzedek, no doubt that your neshama was one of those that wanted to Mekabel the Torah, and that's why he became a Geirim. Just as a postscript to the story, he was killed by the Goyim, Akidosh Hashem, and he spoke to the Gra, what bracha a person makes when he dies on Kiddush Hashem. It's a mitzvah to give up his life on Kiddush Hashem. There's a bracha to say for dying on Kiddush Hashem. It's not a bracha that we hear too often, but there's a bracha that said, if someone's in such a situation. And the Gra told him which bracha to say. He was burnt by the stake, he was burnt, I believe it was the second day of Shavuos. The first or the second day of Shavuos. And the Gra himself wanted to go there to be able to answer Amen to the bracha that he would make when he died on Kiddush Hashem. How often can a person hear such a bracha? But the Gra felt that he was too dangerous, he couldn't go. But the Baal Yisoid B'Sher Shavayda did go.
Yeah.
He covered him, dressed himself, he went. And somehow he managed to stand close by. He was able to hear and make the bracha quietly. And he was zeichet to answer Amen on that bracha.
What was the Nesach?
Look up in the Rambam. Okay. I call upon him, those Geirim that are Megayer later on, they are the ones who are those neshamis that want to be mekabel the Torah earlier. So later on, we come to the parasha of the wells in the Torah. We have a whole discussion about the wells. Yitzchak dug, the Polishnim went and stuffed them up. If you look between Shlishi and Revi, you have the whole story. The Cholah be'eros that they dug b'mei Avram, the Polishnim stuffed, they filled with earth. Avimelech tells Yitzchak goodbye. Yitzchak comes back, he returns in Pasuk Yud Ches. Vayachbar, he digs up the Eretz Hamayim that Avram had dug, and he calls them the same name that his father called them, and he digs other boires, he finds Be'er Mayim Chayim, the shepherds of Gra argue with the Yitzchak, and he calls the Be'er Esek, he is Askulim, because they argue, they fought with him. He digs another bar, and again, they argue with the Raya Yitzchak, he calls the name Sitna, a Russian of Sinna, of hatred. Vayatek Misham, the Pasuk Chaf Beis, he moves from there, he digs another well, and Veloy Rovul. At this time there was no machlok, it's no argument. And he called the Rechayvois, Vayoymen, he said, Kiato, Hirchev Hashem, Lono, Fremont Hashem, gave us, Hashem made it big, wide for us, and will spread out throughout the land. the three Bairis. If you read through the Pesukim Parsha, it seems like a nice story. That Yitzchak dug a well, they fought, they dug another well, they fought. Obviously the Torah is not just not a storybook. The reasons the Torah is teaching us a lesson with the Bairis. And the Ramban here brings down, says the Ramban, that the three Bairis correspond to the three Beis HaMikdash. The Bais Rishon, the Bais Sheni, and the third Bais that we built Los and Lavoi. And says the Ramban, Vayikra Shema Bar Eisek and Pasuk Chof, the Pasuk tells us Sinin HaBeirois. And the Pasuk, and says the Ramban, Ki Bolo HaDiacha Dov HaOsin, the Eisek is a remes to Bais HaRishon, because the Goyim fought, there were many Mochamois that the Israel fought during the time of Bais HaRishon. And the second bar was called Sitna, because even though the Goyim, Kairish, Achashverosh, gave us reshus to build the Beis HaMikdash, was still a sinner the Goyim had to us the entire time of the Bais Sheni. But the Bais Shilishi, the third bar, is called Rechayvois, because the third Beis HaMikdash will remain, will stand, and won't be, the Goyim won't have the sinner, and the Goyim won't argue with us over the third Beis HaMikdash. The Ben of Achai says the same idea, and he adds on that the first two Batim Mikdash were built by the Adam, were built by human hands. Therefore, the Goyim Machlokes had power during the first two Batim Mikdash. The third one that we built by Hashem, fire will come down from Shemayim. On the third base of Mikdash, Machlokes Sinna will have no power whatsoever because that was built by Hashem. And that's the remez of the three Bairis. The Chavetz Chaim says, the three Bairis teach us a lesson that if a person tries to do something and he has difficulties and it doesn't work out and he's prevented from doing so, a person should not give up, but a person tries again. Yitzchak tried to dig the bear, they stuffed it up, they argued, he moved on and did it again. Tried a second time, they argued, didn't work out, he tried a third time till he wasn't successful. A person learns from here that whenever a person is doing something good, and he has difficulties, whether the Goyim tries to stop him, the Yitzhara tries to stop him, whatever the situation is, a person has to go on and not give up. And that's the lesson of digging the Bairis, that no matter how hard it is, a person continues and goes on. Later on in the parasha, we come to the Brachas. We all know what happened by the Brachas. Yitzchak calls an Esav, and he tells Esav to go prepare for him a meal, a behemoth. And Esav leaves, Rivka calls Yaakov and tells Yaakov to bring two goats. She'll prepare the food for Yitzchak, and Yaakov should go into Yitzchak. Yaakov says, but Urayim Usheni Yovi, perhaps my father will touch me. Esav was all hairy, Yaakov's skin was smooth, and I'll be a liar in Yitzchak's eyes, he might be Mekalo me. So Rivka tells Esav, tell Yaakov, don't worry about the Klala. And she tells him, go take the clothing of Esav that's hanging in the house, take the hairy, the furry clothing of Esav, put it on, and this way, Yitzchak won't know that you're Yaakov. And the whole story is a little confusing, but Rivka knew that Yaakov was supposed to receive the brachas. Targum Unkelis on Pasuk. Targum Unkelis brings down that Rivka said benavua to Yaakov and pasuk perichav zayin pasuk vav. This is the Targum Unkelis. The Rivka amaras Yaakov bara. She said to Yaakov her son. I'm sorry. In pasuk yud gimel. Ba'amaras la'ime. His mother said to Malayis Amer benavua. To me it was said benavua that Yitzchak won't curse you and he'll be zeichet to receive the brachas. So Rivka knew benavua that Yaakov was receive the brachas. A kopon and Yaakov goes ahead, he comes in, and the pasuk tells us, Perin Chavzayin, pasuk Chavzayin, Vayorach Reach Begodov, Yitzchak smells the smell of the clothing he's wearing, Vayivorecheyu, and he benches him, Vayoyim, and he says, Re'ei Reach Beni Kireach Soda, Asher Berach Hashem. See, the smell of my sons and the smell of the field that Hashem benched, and Rashi tells us, Yitzchak smelled the smell of Gan Eden. Zestet Puchim, Reach Toiv, the smell of Reach Gan Eden, the smell of Gan Eden went in together with Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky says over a word and a story, beautiful. The Gemara he once was asked to speak in the prisoners in the Ramla prison in Eretz Yisrael. And he's all hesitant to go. What do you say to prisoners? And he no idea whom he was speaking to. White collar prisoners, what, you know, the worst of the worst, or... Anyway, he agreed to come speak. He comes in, he takes one look at the crowd, and he realizes this is a tough crew. What do you say to a bunch of criminals, hardened criminals? How do you speak to them? And he said this pasuk. Vayorach Yaakov Yitzchak smelled the reyach begodov. The Gemara in Sanhedrin nafram and zayin. The Gemara brings down a tikrei begodov el begodov. Don't read the pasuk. He smelled begodov, but he smelled begodov. Begodov means the rebellious ones. Even the rebellious rishoyim among Chal Yisrael have zchus. Like the Gemara says, afilu rekodim shabach v'leim mitzvahs kareimim. Even those of the empty ones, the ones that don't know, the ones that are empty among you, still have mitzvahs like a pomegranate. The filled mitzvahs like a pomegranate is filled with seeds. And he said over this pasuk, vayorach reyach begodov. Don't read begodov, but those that rebel, that are treacherous, rebel, even they have some good to them. And he saw a smile light up on their faces. Speaking to them, appropriate to say. And he said, let me explain to you what happened when Yaakov came in for the brachas. Yitzchak had a dilemma. Who did he give the brachas? Did he give the brachas to Esav or to Yaakov? At this point, Yitzchak did not yet know that Yaakov bought the b'chayra from Esav. He first finds that out later on. So Yitzchak's debating. Esav, the physical b'chor. Esav was born first. He's the one who's zeichet to the brachas. On the other hand, Yaakov is a ishtam yeshiva hohen. Yaakov has maybe yeshiva to Yaakov. The Gemara in Baba Basra, Kufra Magimel says, should a father take away the chelek b'chayra from an older son who's a rasha and give it to a younger son who's a tzaddik or not? Gemara says not, because his children might be tzaddikim. You don't know. Just because the older son is a rasha, his children might be tzaddikim. Since his children might be tzaddikim, it's better to leave the Yerusha by him, or go to his children who are tzaddikim. Not necessarily the children the same as the father. So Rabbi Yaakov Minsky told them, when Yaakov came in, Yitzchak's perplexed. Who's here? He smells Gan Eden. Begodov. Begodov. Yitzchak saw Piruach HaKadosh, the person standing in front of him, that even the Begodov, even the children that come out of him, that will rebel, will still be Malay mitzvahs, will still be filled with mitzvahs. So at that point, Yitzchak realized that this person standing in front of me is zeichet to the brachas, because even his children, the Bagdim, articulate regard of Ella Bagdov, those that rebel, are also filled with mitzvahs, and he gave Yaakov the brachas. And then, Evgenitsky ended off by saying, and why tackle is this drasha hinted in the word begodov? If the pasuk meant that the begodov, that those that rebel, are also melei mitzvahs, the pasuk should have said that Yaakov smelled the smell of the begodov, that even those that rebel are filled with mitzvahs. Why does it say begodov? And he said to teach us that whatever a person does, a person could rebel, a person could sin, a person could do whatever avera it is, it's only begodov. It's only clothing on the outside. Even when a person is baigate, when a person rebels, it's not the inner person. It's not the person himself. A yid on the inside has that pintel yid. It's only on the outside that it's begodov, that it's his clothing. And he told the prisoners that it's only the clothing on the outside. No matter what anybody did, a person could always just take off his clothing and remove the outside, the averis that he did. We could say, Ashamnu Bagadnu. We say it also. Bagadnu is a lashon of rebellion. It's also a lashon of a beggar of clothing. Because even when a yid does an avera, a yid rebels, it's not part of him. A person could always remove what he did and do tshuva. At the end of the parasha, we find Esav hates Yaakov because of the brachas, and he's ready to kill him. It's revealed to Rivka, and Rivka calls Yaakov and says, listen, your brother's after you. He's planning to kill you. Run away. And she tells Yaakov to go to Lavan and Charan. And she says that Esav already has his plans. He's planning on killing you. She tells Yaakov to run to Lavan's house. Lamaisa, what does Yaakov do? Where does he go? He goes to Shem Ve'Ever for 14 years. Learned the last Rashi in the parasha. Rashi brings down the whole Gemara Megillah, the whole Cheshbon, how we prove that there are 14 years that are missing in Yaakov's life. From the time that he leaves Charan until later on, there's a 14-year gap. And the Gemara says, where did Yaakov go for those 14 years? He went to learn Mashem Ve'ev. The Yaakov Galinsky is the Parsha Bekasha. When Yaakov leaves, Eliphaz comes running after him.
Wants to kill him.
And Eliphaz wants to kill him. And Yaakov gives Eliphaz all his property, everything that he has, Ani Choshev Kameis. All is considered like he's dead. You can go back and tell your father Esav that you killed me because Ani Choshev Kameis. And Ani's like he's dead. And Rashi agrees that because Eliphaz grew up in the lap of Yitzchak, so he had some Rachmonis, and therefore he did not kill Yaakov.
He had the money.
Later on, Yaakov goes to Laban's house. He stays there 20 years. He finally returns. It's about 24 years have gone by since the story of the Brachas. And Esav comes with 400 men, ready to fight, ready to kill. Esav didn't come then after 400 years.
Not 400 years.
I mean, after 24 years. 24 years, right. After 24 years, Esav didn't calm down.
More like 34. 34,
probably. 34, right. He didn't calm down.
You know, sometimes you never...
When Yaakov went to learn in Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever, why didn't Esav go after him then? It was right nearby. Rashi tells us Rivka walked by the yeshiva Shem Ve'ever and gave him the parasha. They had good security outside the yeshiva.
Yeah, of course.
They had good security standing outside. Why didn't... Shem Ve'ever was right there. Rivka, when she was more embarrassed, walked by Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever. The yeshiva was there. Yaakov's there 14 years... Then, as soon as he's out of the door of Yeshiva, he takes off the Charan and runs for his life.
Yes.
What happened? For 14 years, Yaakov's sitting and learning in Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever. He's in town, and Esav doesn't touch him. Esav doesn't touch him. He's in Yeshiva 14 years, and he's not afraid of Esav. Suddenly, 14 years later, it's time to move on. He walks out the door of Yeshiva, he runs, he has to run right away. Esav knew exactly where Yaakov was. And for 14 years, he's sitting in yeshiva, Esav couldn't touch him.
Yes,
there is Gemara. Yes, from the Gemara. Okay, I am part of a Torah. I'll call Yaakov, I die in the day Esav, Torah protects, we had the Gemara yesterday, good. That takes another angle, and he says, because Esav was afraid to walk into that yeshiva. Esav was afraid to walk into that yeshiva.
Why?
He walked into yeshiva, he was afraid it would have an effect on him, and it would change him. And he didn't want...
It would affect him.
For good. He was afraid that if he walked in to the walls of that yeshiva, he walked into the yeshiva Shem Ve'ever, it would have an effect on him, and it might change him for the better. And Esav wasn't ready for a change. And he was afraid to walk into yeshiva.
Feel shame, and he became...
The Mokom, a place, has kedusha. And it affects a person.
Wow.
And he was afraid to walk into yeshiva. So as long as Yaakov was there for 14 years, he didn't have to worry about Esav coming after him, because Esav did not want to enter into a yeshiva. As soon as Yaakov walked out the door, whoop, he has to run for his life, because Esav was still after him. But as long as he was in the Kaisla yeshiva, Esav was afraid to come. And he says over two nice stories. During World War I, in Russia, the Alta from the Vardik called over one of his Tamidim, Shmuel Weintraub, and he told him that he wanted to open up a yeshiva in Berdichev. He said to him, it's Sakonis Nefoshis, wartime, and it's not the time to do it. And the Alta told him that he has to open up a yeshiva because the young Machmir have nowhere to learn, and you have the Kaychis to do it. And he opened the yeshiva, and it grew to 70 Bachrim, and he branched out. And the Russian authorities were after him for his life because of the yeshivas. And one day, a Russian general and his contingent walks into the yeshiva and says to some Shmuel Weintraub, you have to close down the yeshiva. The yeshiva is not allowed to be open anymore, you have to close down. So Shmuel Weintraub says to the Russian general, he saw he was a Yid. He says to him, I heard what you have to say, now you have to listen to what I have to say. I want to teach you some Torah.
Oh no!
And this Russian says, "I have the sword in my hand, and I have the army behind me. I don't have to listen to what you have to say. You have to listen to what I have to say." And he said to him, "What you have to say, I know already. I have to close down the yeshiva, and it's against the government, and so on. But you don't know what I have to say. You owe it to me to listen for a few minutes to what I have to say." At least for a few minutes. had Pinto Yid in him, this Russian general. He told all the other soldiers to leave. And so Shmuel Wamshev had a Kayach at Hebrew, spoke to him. And he spoke to him for a few minutes. And slowly but surely, he warmed his heart a little bit. And the Russian general said, fine, stay. And he came back later to learn a little bit. And he joined the yeshiva. And he himself became a Rav later on in life.
Perfect.
Such is the kayach of a
mokwe. How dangerous it is to go to yeshiva.
It's very dangerous to go to yeshiva, right? You're right. I'm laughing. I look, but it changes you.
Yeah.
It changes. Be careful. It changes. And the story that Medrash brings down with Yosef Meshisa, the famous story, the Yevonim, when they came to enter the Beis HaMikdash, they were afraid. They didn't want to go in at first. So they found a friar Yid, Yosef Meshisa, and he agreed to go in, and they told him whatever he brings out, the Beis HaMikdash, he could keep for himself. And he went in, and he brought out the menorah.
Right.
He brought out the menorah. When the Yevonim saw the menorah, they're like, oh, this you can't keep. This is priceless. This you can't keep. So they took it away, and they told him, now, go back in a second time, and take whatever you want. And he refused. He said, I angered Hashem the first time by going in. I'm going to anger Hashem a second time. And they ended up threatening him. He refused to go in. They ended up killing him. And the Panovich Yerov asks what happened. A minute ago, he went in and took out the menorah. And now, he's afraid to go. He doesn't want to go in a second time. What happened?
Going back to
he already did an act of rishus. He's afraid to go in again. So the Panovich Yerov, yeah. Because once he went into the walls of that Beis HaMikdash, he was inside, the Kedusha had an effect on him. The Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash had an effect on him, and now he wouldn't go back in a second time to do an Aveir. Such as the Kayach of a Makom Kadosh.
It had such an effect, and how would he have taken out the menorah in the first
place? Once he went out, he won't go in again. It has an effect. He walked in Makom Kadosh, it has an effect on a person. We said over many times that the Meir Yeshiva Yerushalayim, now it's a nice big campus, but in the old days it was one building, the old building, the Meir Yeshiva Yerushalayim. And Reb Beinish Finkel Rashi was approached many times about extending the Beis Medrash and knocking down the walls. And he always said, no. He said, the walls are angazap mit Torah. The walls are absorbed with Torah. How could you knock down the walls of the Beis Medrash that are absorbed with Torah? You can't knock down these walls.
Yeah.
The place has Kedusha. A place that a person's in has an effect. It works both ways. A person's in the wrong type of place, it has the opposite effect. But a person in the right place, it has an effect. And that's the Kayach of a Shul, a Beis Medrash, a Mokwin. And that's why we come to learn, come to Davin, we come to a Beis Knesset, a Beis Medrash, not sitting at home. We could sit at home at night, like we could take the phone, everyone could listen over the phone, and we could learn. We did it in the snowstorm, we did it that way, right?
Yeah, sat there with the phone. Not the same.
It was, not only is not the same, it's so much harder.
So much harder. Maybe it's boring at home.
Sit there with the phone. You have to come. There's a certain Kedusha when you come to a basic Knesset, a basic Medrash. To Shtakal will be Zaycha, to feel the Kedusha of the basic Medrash, the basic Knesset. We should all be Zaycha. A call called Yaakov, the call of Tigo, the call of Torah, Zaycha, to see Mashiach's name, the name of Omer.